Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Chupos.
And Sister Amen.
We are back and ready for some edification for you. Hope you had a blessed, joyous, awesome day in the Lord, if you're of the Lord. If you're not, you better repent.
Yeah, I don't know why somebody wouldn't want to be following the Lord.
Yeah, there's a lot of stiff-necked, rebellious people out there, like I used to be.
Yeah, me
but
too.
It's much better in the Lord.
Oh, it's so awesome to be in the light.
Amen. Check out the gospel@don'tperish.com. Today we hit the road and went a short way and got to a new town. And then we pretty much worked online all day because we had a whole bunch of stuff to get done. And It was super windy.
Oh, yeah.
We were going to fly signs and then there were some storm fronts coming in. In fact, we got heavy wind and storm fronts coming through tonight. Supposed to be rainy all day tomorrow, but such is the life in van dwelling.
Yeah, most of the day, and it might clear up later on. So
we might fly some signs tomorrow. But we did get a lot of work done. Brother Kua went and did do some witnessing in a park.
Yeah,
and
awesome.
Yeah, it was a really, really, really blessed day.
Doing the work of the Lord, whether in person, online, whatever, it's all good.
Amen, amen. So we thought we would just bring you some edification, and I guess, Sister Amen, what do you got?
I told Brother Tupos I had some questions for him. And I said, do you want to know ahead of time? And he said, no.
We're doing these right from the cuff, so we'll see how it goes.
Oh, they'll be probably really simple for you to answer. So,
I don't know. It's late at night. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, like you said, it's good to keep yourself on your toes.
Yeah.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Always got to be ready on the street.
I'm ready.
Okay. I'm going to read a scripture verse, and I'm going to ask you a question.
All right.
Okay? Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Right.
The question is, how do you keep yourself from growing weary?
Oh, how to keep myself
What do you do to keep yourself from growing weary?
Oh, what do I do to keep myself from growing weary? Oh, that's a big, wide-open question.
Uh-huh.
I think ultimately the first answer is keeping your eyes on Christ most of all. It's too easy to look at situations and people, circumstances, unknown things, things that look bad. I think you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. And Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I think of the kingdom of God. I think of Christ. And everything else will be added unto you. So that would be number one, keep your eyes on Christ. And then number two, I think would be, for me, what helps me a lot is finding your ministry, training and knowing your ministry, and then continually doing your ministry. Because the Lord calls you for a purpose. He equips you for a purpose. If you do that purpose, it's fulfilling in Him and it's joyful. If you're not doing it, then you don't have that completeness. You're not blameless. You don't have that satisfaction. You're like a tool that's not used. You get rusty. You're no good.
Yep.
So those would be the two main things. Keep your eyes on Christ. And then, of course, always be studying in the Word, discerning, growing, learning, striving, setting your eyes for the truth of God, not on this kingdom of Satan that we're walking through. Those are the three that kind of come to mind. There's a whole bunch more.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I would second all those, too.
I would say one other one is, I would say whatever the Lord has you do, do it with all your heart. So if He gives you a few people to look after them with all your heart. If He gives you people to witness to, do it with all your heart. If He puts you in ministry to travel, do it with all your heart. I think having a good, realistic expectation of what the Lord's called us to. Oh, and I'm thinking of another one. Trust in the Lord's word. He said you'll be hated. He said there'll be few. He said the world will turn dark and evil. He said before He comes back, many, many things are going to happen and no flesh will be saved unless He comes back. If we really believe His word, there's no reason for us to get weary. It's when we take our eyes off the word and Him and we start going, what? Look at this. How can that be?
Walking
keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on the word. Walking in your ministry. Being a fruitful worker. Striving for the kingdom.
Right. Yeah. I agree with all this, of course. I was thinking about how strong the strength you get when you're actually doing His work, whatever it is that He has you do.
That's like what I said, doing ministry.
Yeah, I like that, because that gives us strength. It keeps our focus on Him and keep going instead of having idle time to just let your mind wander.
I think a lot of people are a lot of thinkers, but there's not many doers.
Yeah.
They think a lot about God's word. They think about the end times. They think about all the situations. They think about scripture, but they're not really doers of God's word.
Yeah, and there's many ways you can be a doer.
So go forth to be a doer, and that's part of not growing weary, because there's always more to do.
All right, so this one's probably going to fit in with the next one. They can all blend together, kind of, I guess. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong.
Be strong.
So my question would be, how do you be strong?
How do I be strong? I think the answer to that one probably takes some answers from that first question, but I would say walk in the Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
You got to walk in the Spirit. If you get in your flesh, you get weak. You have no power. I think you have to walk in the Spirit. Romans 8:1. No condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, as long as they're in the Spirit, not in the flesh. So we're born again, new creations. That's our only hope. So if we're not walking in the Spirit, we have no hope.
Amen.
So we get our strength from the Spirit. God gives us the a sound mind and power.
How about this one, too? The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yep. Was that from Nehemiah, I believe?
I think so, yeah.
Is that Nehemiah? I'm not sure. I'd have to look that one
up. Yeah, I think it's Nehemiah 8.
Yeah. I would say walking in the Spirit and striving for the kingdom, like I said before, and eyes on Christ, not on people. Forgiving people is a good one, because it doesn't allow you to your energy to be lost on people, and it keeps your focus on Christ. Forgiving and moving on, that type of thing.
Yeah, and then being thankful for what he's done, that overpowers a lot.
Yeah, oh, here's another one. Here, Jesus said, don't look back. No one's fit for the kingdom, but that looks back like Lot's wife, looking back in sorrow. I did a teaching call, looking back to lament, not to learn, or looking back to learn, not to lament.
Yeah.
When I see how far you and I have come, how the Lord's been faithful and brought us, that gives me great strength. Because that we can keep going.
Amen. Okay. Ready for another one?
I am.
Romans 12:18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So here's the question.
Yeah.
How do you deal with living peaceably with all men?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that just comes down to walk in sound doctrine, treat everyone like a neighbor, like you would like to be treated. Yeah, there's a time for rebuke and exposing. We get all that. The Bible's full of it, dealing with people's sins. But I think that it's important that we walk in sound doctrine and we use the tools that the Lord's given us, like Matthew 18, body discipline, Paul calling us to rebuke so others will fear, marking and avoiding those, Romans 16:17. And not having to do with them, keeping ourselves separate from confusion, 1 Corinthians 14:33, God's not the author of confusion. I think all of those play a part in that.
Yeah, and a lot of people think being at peace with everybody means that everybody gets along, everybody's the same, because the world isn't at peace with God's word and his people, and even within his people.
That goes along with forgiveness. I like what Stephen, when they were stoning him, he had rebuked them and said, well, you're always like this, you stiff-necked, just like your fathers, you stiff-necked Israelites. They're stoning him, and he says, Father, forgive them. He was at peace with those people. He didn't have a grudge. He wasn't angry. He wasn't crying out, going, oh, you wicked people. He died at peace with those people, even though they were throwing stones at his head.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Yeah, so we can do that. We can do that, too. We can forgive our enemies. We can love our enemies. We can do good for those that despitefully use us, so that type of thing.
Right. How about this? James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. How do you keep yourself unspotted?
Yeah, so the world is like everything that God did not ordain or create. So the water, the trees, the lakes, that's a great place to go to relax and restore yourself. The world would be, in that context, Satan's kingdom, politics, sports, entertainment, movies, churchianity. And so you keep yourself unspotted by not partaking. Do not be partakers of the works of darkness. So I don't go watch Hollywood movies. I'm unspotted from it. I don't go watch the sports I used to do. I'm unspotted from it. I don't participate in the events of the world like Halloween or drunken parties or all their worldly, fleshly, carnal events, sports car racing. I'm unspotted from it. I came out of that mud puddle. Christ washed me clean. I'm told to keep my garment clean and not defiled, And I do that by repenting, and he keeps cleansing me, but I don't get near the mud puddle anymore. The closest I get is preaching the gospel to him.
Yeah, and we're not spotted when we go into the world and we're in amongst it, standing and sharing the truth with people.
That's a good point. We always do that. We always get that from people. We'll be at a festival or a sporting event or some religious event, and we'll be preaching, and it might be calling somebody out saying, "Why are you here? This is sinful." And they go, and they're there with turkey legs and souvenirs and worldly things they're carrying around, and they go, "Well, why are you here?" And we go, "We're holding gospel signs standing against this." "Yeah, yeah, right, but you're still here." Yeah. They have no spiritual discernment about the difference between Jesus walked through the world, but he wasn't spotted up by the world. John the Baptist's parents were in the world, but they walked and were at peace and righteousness with God perfectly. Noah was walking in perfect righteousness before God, obeying God, but he was in that corrupt, wicked, violent world.
Yeah.
So we can keep ourselves unspotted by not personally partaking in it. It's all around us.
Exactly. Yeah, we can walk through it. Just because you see it, hear it, and have to deal with it doesn't mean that if you're not partaking of it, you're not spotted.
Yeah, I can walk by poison food, and there's a whole bunch of poison food there, and I see it, and I go, "Oh, poison food. I'm near it. It's right there." But I walk by it. I don't partake of it. It doesn't defile me or doesn't make me sick. Mm-mm. If I stop and partake of it and eat it, now I'm going to get sick. So walk right by it.
Same with music.
Music.
Same with things that go in front of you.
And there's no way to go out. Paul said, or Jesus said, "I asked the Father not take them out of the world, but keep them from it." Mm-hmm. And Paul said, "We're in the world, but we're not of it," basically. This is what the concept of Romans 12 is to don't be conformed to the world. And he said that he told us not to keep company with adulterers, liars, revilers, but he said not those that are in the world, because otherwise you'd have to leave the world. He's talking about brothers and sisters that do that. Every day I go to Walmart, I'm surrounded by people that lived as sinfully as I did when I wasn't a Christian.
Yeah.
And so I have to be around them to reach them for the gospel, but I'm not defiled by them, or I don't partake what they partake in. Jesus sat with sinners and he didn't partake of sin.
Yeah, exactly. And why was he there with them?
To preach the gospel, call them, call them to repentance.
Right. Yeah. Amen. All right. So I got the last one here.
Last one?
Yep. Get your thinking cap on.
I'm ready. I got my, well, I got the helmet of salvation on, but yeah, go for it.
1 Peter 1:22. "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently."
All right.
Question is, how do we fervently love the brethren?
Fervently love the brethren. Well, I guess there's a whole bunch of answers to that. Uh-huh. One would be, Peter says, I think it's 1 Peter 5:8, be an example to the flock. No, 1 Peter 5:8 is roaring lion. 1 Peter 5, I believe it is, maybe verse 3. 1 Peter 5:3, look up. He tells us to be an example unto the flock. So that would be a good one, 1 Peter 5:3. Also, we talked about keeping yourself unspotted. That's part of being an example. I would say looking out after each other. We're talking about face-to-face relationships here. We've learned a lot about long-distance relationships that just don't hold up to the biblical standard that we talk about. So face-to-face relationships, looking after each other, be ready in your life to literally die for another, a brother or sister. Let's see, what else? Fervent love of the brethren. I would say Hebrews 3:13, edifying each other every day. I would say praying for each other. I would say teaching each other and going to scripture with each other, doing ministry together. We learned what it's like to travel with other saints. That's an awesome thing. But I would say everything that Jesus did with the disciples and the disciples did with each other, we should be doing with other people that we're face-to-face, we're united to. And probably the best thing we do is keep the New Testament model that we saw. Mm-hmm. They loved each other. They broke bread together. They studied together. They ministered together. They rebuked and exhorted each other. They separated from people when they had to. Do the model of the New Testament, because God knows best.
Amen. He does.
So I think if we do that, we're going to help each other. It's either going to draw people to you because they see that you're keeping God's word, or it's going to remove people. And we've seen, and this makes sense, a lot more people have been removed from us than we are united to. Why? because we're in the last days where Jesus said, few are going to find it, and the love of many are going to wax cold, and you're going to be hated for my namesake and the truth. So it makes sense. I got a lot more enemies than I got close brothers and sisters. If it was the other way around,
you have a problem.
Then God's word's not true. Then I'm in like churchianity, and I'm actually a man pleaser, and I'm compromised. So absolutely.
So that makes me think, we know the Lord has brethren all over the world that know of. And we can have a fervent love of them, not even knowing them, just because we know they're in the family of God and brothers and sisters, and like you said, praying.
Yep.
And then would this fit as well? We're out on the streets to glorify God and to preach the gospel and lift up Christ.
That's why we put posts and stuff up to show it.
But there might be some brethren out there or in the making that we're fervently loving, going out in the streets looking for.
Oh, absolutely.
And trying to help.
Yeah.
And I was going to go where you did. We have the internet platform right now. Paul wrote letters when he could.
Yep.
We have the internet, and daily we fervently love the brethren on the website with everything we post, because you don't realize what we do out here is awesome. It takes up a lot of our time doing what we do out there, and then we also make sure not just doing the works that the Lord has us face to face with people, whether it's the world and preaching the gospel or brethren. We also look after the brethren we don't even know online.
Yeah, and I think that has a lot to do with making foolproof your ministry, because we're doing street ministry every day, but then also we like to teach and edify, and we like to put up the street preaches, and we know they're going to be on the internet for years to come, and people that aren't ready, people that aren't even believers today, we're getting ready to edify them for when they become believers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're like fervently loving the body of Christ that maybe not even has come along yet.
Yeah, there's so many answers to that. Fervently loving is just pouring out more truth and pointing the way. Yeah, standing for truth. I just did a teaching on Caleb, and Caleb was blessed of God because God said he had a different spirit. And Caleb would not give up on the promise that God gave them to go into the land and take the land. And Caleb stood strong. And the Israelites were ready to stone Caleb and Joshua because they wanted to go back to Egypt and eat leeks and onions. And he stood strong. And God actually stepped in, and Moses stepped in for him. And so, yeah, the best thing we can do is be godly, holy, set-apart saints, not compromising on any sin, loving each other in the truth, because truth is love.
Amen. I love that.
Truth is love. And not be man-pleasing. When somebody needs a rebuke, they get a rebuke. If they end up being your enemy because you rebuke them, and they go off and they tell a bunch of lies about you, your job is done. You did it. They did it to our master. They did it to Paul. They're going to do it to everybody else that stands for the truth of God.
Mm-hmm.
Satan's going to come in and find a way. He's the accuser of the brethren.
Yeah.
And if they open up their lives to him, we've seen people turned over. And they end up being wicked and despiteful and angry and hateful. I don't ever want to be that way.
No.
I want to forgive even the people I can't get along with in peace and say, go in peace. We can't get along. We forgive you. Forgive us. Go. And especially these long-distance relationships. Face-to-face, you strive really hard to work things out. Long-distance, you got to let things go because it's not the model we see in Scripture. Whoa, our van's really rocking. The wind is blowing.
There's different aspects to fervent love of the brethren. A lot of people think it's just flesh.
Right.
You know, lots of flesh
love. Yeah, making pizzas together, and that's all fine and good, doing cooking and stuff together, but we want to keep it spirit-centered, word-centered, ministry-centered, eternity-centered.
Amen. Yeah. I love that. Well, so you did really good being late at
night. Those are good questions. You had good ones. You got
a scripture
verse to close us out on?
I do. I've got Titus 2:11 through 5. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
That verse right there almost encompasses all your questions.
I love that.
Yeah, that was a great one.
Yeah.
Anything else, Sister Amma?
I just hope everybody's striving on and holding fast and keeping themselves from growing weary and being strong and living peaceably with all men, keeping themselves unspotted and fervently loving the brethren.
Yeah, and rest in this. God knows your heart. God knows your effort. He knows your thoughts, your deeds. And when things get cloudy and muddied up by Satan's workers or lies or all that, and you've done everything you can, then just rest knowing God knows. God knows the truth.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what we rest in. Because we're going to be judged by God, not by men. And he knows the truth. And if we've done everything we can, as Paul says, stand, do everything you can, stand, and then stand.
I love that.
Yeah. All right, awesome. We're going to leave it right there. That was an awesome, awesome question Sister Amin asked. And I guess I would leave you with this. That verse she just read, what was that? From Titus?
That was Titus
2, wasn't it?
2, yeah.
Yeah. Go back and read that if you want evidence that Jesus Christ is God.
Yeah.
It says right there, our great God and Savior. There's all kinds of verses that.
Good point.
I have an article on the deity of Jesus. There's verses where it talks about they worshiped him. You don't worship anyone but God.
Mm-mm.
That was considered a death penalty in the Old Testament. So
yeah.
Consider that. Christ is our God. Christ is our Savior. He is coming back for his elect one day. I hope you're ready, looking, waiting for him. Don'tperish.com is there to help you along that journey.
Amen.
And we're going to hold fast in through this windstorm. And tomorrow it's going to be rainy all day. It looks like if the Lord gives it to us, we'll be working. We have a lot more. That's a great thing about having online ministry. When the weather doesn't allow us to go be out in the streets, we don't sit there and just look at the paint on the wall. We got lots of stuff to do.
Amen, we do.
Yeah. Check out the Ecclesia gathering area. Brother Kua did a study. I did, I think, one or two. I did two different teachings. Sister Amin did a post. And Brother Kua and I had a good conversation on elders, biblical pastors, and modern pastors exposed. So go listen to that, and it'll definitely edify you.
Mm-hmm. Just fervently loving the brethren, Hebrews 3:13.
Amen.
As we can.
Amen. And we do love you all. Till next time.
May God.